Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly show about local libraries by the people who manage them.
I'm Gretchen Hackmeister, the Executive Director of the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon in Sharon, Connecticut. I'm joined by Tammy Gaskell, the Director of the Rojan Library in Hillsdale, New York. Tammy, why don't we begin with you telling us about the Rojan Library and what makes it unique?
Okay, well, thank you, Gretchen and Mike. The Roelof Janssen Community Library actually serves three communities. We're actually located in Copaic, New York. Our mailing address is Hillsdale, which is why a number of people think that we're in Hillsdale, but we're actually in Copaic. But we do serve the towns of Hillsdale, Copaic, and Ankrum. We have a service population of just over 6,000. So we're a rural library with a very large geographic area that we serve, but a relatively small population. We are not in a village, so we're not walkable, which gives us a certain number of challenges as far as accessibility, which we can talk about later. And we're an association library, which means we are actually a nonprofit and not a public agency. And we actually do a lot of fundraising as a result. We don't get the sort of tax support that a lot of public libraries do get. So,
yeah,
Gretchen, do you want to talk about your library?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks. It's very similar to our situation. Our library is quite old. We were founded in 1893 by Mariah Hotchkiss, who was the widow of Benjamin Berkeley Hotchkiss of the Hotchkiss Manufacturing Company, the arms manufacturers, actually. And she gave the building as a gift to the people of Sharon at that time. And then it was turned into an association, and they populated it with books. We are considered by the state of Connecticut the principal public library of our town, and we have a service population of 2,700 people, so a bit smaller than you. But we are also a 501c3 nonprofit, so we too are an association library. We do receive a grant from the town of Sharon annually, which we ask for each year, and they do support us. However, the bulk of our operating expenses, which fluctuates between 65% to 70% normally, comes from our fundraising effort. So like you, over across the border on Route 22, we spend a lot of time doing fundraising as well.
Right. So it sounds like we both are raising, 60 to 70% of our operating funds through fundraisers, which is unusual, at least in New York, but a commonality here.
Yes, I think association libraries are more common in New England, right, than in other parts of the country. Where I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, I wasn't aware of any. But I think because the libraries predate the modern town structure in some of
right,
the places,
they're
that's
historical,
why they were
yeah.
associations. Yeah, they're historically
historical
older
reasons.
Than the
yeah.
yeah, yeah. So it's an interesting beast to deal with. But we do spend a lot of time raising money to offer all the things that we do to our patrons. I'll just add that we are very happy over here in Sharon. We recently completed a much-needed restoration and expansion of our building, which was it's 131 years old now, and we moved back last August after we'd been relocated in the Sharon American Legion building for 2 years, and our building is now accessible. We offer a new community room for our own programming and also for local nonprofits and community groups to reserve and use during the day and also after hours. We have multiple spaces for patrons to work individually and in small groups, and we now have staff office space, a new circulation area, and two accessible restrooms. So we're very excited, and the reception has been great, and we have a lot of new library card holders, so things are looking positive here in Sharon.
Congratulations and you've, on you've, all of that. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, you have a beautiful library. How old is your structure?
Our building opened in 2011, so we went through the same thing about, 12, 13 years ago, where we were in a much smaller, older building with no programming space at all, and the books stored in the basement, and
wow.
to a much larger open space library's open floor plan, so it's flexible in terms of its use with community rooms and conference rooms, and able to do much more programming than they were able to do previously as a result.
Yeah, that's great. I love the big red chair. It's red, right? The big chair outside?
No, it's green. You have a green chair.
Green chair. What's the story about the green chair?
Oh, dear. You're going to put me on the spot. It was a donation by a local artist, a local sculptor. So okay. It is a piece of art and not to be sat on, though people like to try to sit on it and get their picture taken. We do discourage that since we want to protect the art.
But it's definitely great when you're driving down the road, you notice it. So
it is, so it is great. Noticeable, yes.
Yeah, that's great. So summer is traditionally a really busy time at libraries, and I'm sure over at your library, Tammy, you have a lot planned for children and adults. What's on your schedule?
So our summer reading program is a little different than what a lot of people think of as a summer reading program, where kids get reading logs and they log the number of books or the number of pages or maybe even the number of minutes they read. We are a community that has a lot of seniors, a high percentage of seniors, and not so many children, local children, though we do have local children. But a lot of the kids we see are sort of intermittent. They're not here all summer long. They're here visiting relatives. They're here on vacation. So we've tried to develop a program that will work for those kids as well. So, and the local kids have a hard time, as I was mentioning earlier, our location. We're located on 9 acres on Route 22. It's not something you can walk to or even really bike to safely if you're a child. So we reach out to our local children through working with the camps. Each of the three towns we serve has a summer camp, which we work with, and we go there several times over the course of the summer for programs and reading. And we also invite all of the camps to a program at the library once a year so that they come at one time in July and we have a program and they get to experience the library. We also go to the local farmers market every Saturday morning, where we see lots of kids, both local and from out of town. That's probably where we run into the most kids. It's a very successful partnership with the farmers market. And then we also do things like reading bingo. So we give out bingo cards rather than reading logs, where kids can say, I have to read to my pet or read to my a friend or read upside down, or just fun activities to get kids reading in all different places and ways. And when they fill out a row or the entire card, they get prizes and incentives. So that has proved more successful than the traditional reading log, and we will be doing that again this summer. We do have special programs for kids throughout the summer as well. This year we're having some STEM programs with the Nutty Scientists on things like robotics, forensics, and things are going to be building electronic cars. And then we're concluding with a visit from the 2x2 zoo. So there's a number of things for different ages and different kids who are here all summer long. Kids are here for a week or just on weekends. They all can participate in some way.
That's great.
What are you doing, Sharon?
Those are great ideas that you have, and I think it's really great taking the library to the people, which is more and more something that we can all do. And we have a similar situation. There are not quite as many kids in town as there used to be, but we still have a fair number. So we are doing a program called Adventure Begins at Your Library. It gets underway on June 15th at 1 p.m. with a kickoff party, and they can register. Families can register their children then. They'll receive a summer reading passport to Adventure, and it has things in it that you can do. You know, it has ideas in different areas, activities. Some are related to books, some are not. And when you complete those, at the end of the summer, you can bring it in, and you'll be given raffle tickets for various prizes, and you can put those tickets in a bowl for a chance to win one of those prizes that you like. We have several activities planned each week, and we have that schedule on our website, and we'll hand it out at the kickoff. And the first special event we have is on Saturday, June 29th at 11. We're having a hands-on drumming workshop with Craig Norton, and that will include an interactive drum circle for kids and their families, and kids of all ages are welcome to attend that. And on Tuesday, July 9th at 5 p.m., we'll have a musical storytelling performance by the Story Crafters. And I'm excited because for the first time here in Sharon, we'll be offering an adult summer reading program, and it's very similar to your bingo. It's summer reading bingo for adults, so you can pick up a bingo board, and when you check off a row of five reading activities, you too will be entered in a raffle for a gift card at the end of the summer. And the things include, you know, things like reading a banned book, maybe a book by an author you have never read before, a book recommended by a friend, a book in translation, silly things like a book with an orange cover, all kinds of things like that. So I think that'll be fun to get adults involved as well and to get us out of our usual reading habits and try something new.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I was told I can't win the prize, though, but I'm still going to play.
Uh-huh.
So that makes sense, right? That seems fair. And do you have a children's book recommendation to share this month, Tammy?
So I talked to our children's librarian, our Tia Maggio, who does all of our collection development and programs for kids, and she is just terrific. And she was very excited about a couple of books that to suggest. And one is a little bit older, a 2017 book by Gaia Cornwell called Jabari Jumps. And this is a book about a young boy who's taking his first jump off of a diving board. So it's a great summer story, a good read-along about a young boy who takes his first jump. It's about being scared, about being brave, overcoming your fears, and about it captures this moment between an encouraging father and very patient father and his, you know, very determined but a little bit nervous son. So just a great summer story. The other one she recommended was a new book by Caldecott medalist Sophie Blackall called Ahoy, which has these great imaginative illustrations. It's the story of a parent and child at home using their imaginations to create a whole world of sailing and encountering storms and sharks and giant squids and drawing maps, and it's a great book about the power and importance of imagination and play. So those are our two recommendations for this month.
Those sound great. Sophie Blackall is a wonderful artist. I loved her book, If I Were a Horse. That was a great one with beautiful, beautiful pictures. My children's librarian, Ms. Renee, recommended a middle grade novel for kids ages 9 to 12. So this works perfectly. You had picture books. And it's a new book called, it has a funny title, And Then Boom! With an exclamation point by Lisa Phipps. And it's actually a novel in verse. And it's pretty serious stuff. It deals with housing and food scarcity in families. And she described it as an exceptionally compassionate examination of existence on the edge. So it sounds like a good book maybe parents and children could read together. Sounds very good. So let's shift gears and talk about what's most popular in our library right now. What are your readers coming in and reading and asking for?
So I took a look at, we have a system, I think, as most libraries do, where people place holds on very popular books. And so the books that have the most holds on them, as we call them, are Amor Towles' newest book, Table for Two. It's a collection of six short stories and a novella. Six stories are all set in New York at the turn of the millennium. And then the novella takes up about half the book, and it follows the story of Evelyn Ross, who is a character from an earlier book of his, The Rules of Civility, as Evelyn goes to Hollywood. So that's by far, I think, the most requested book in the last month. Second to that is Kristen Hannah's The Women, and it's set in the 1960s in the Vietnam War and follows the story of a young nursing student who joins the Army Nurse Corps and serves in Vietnam and chronicles her challenges both abroad and then after she comes home as well, and focuses on the experience of the women who served in the war. What's
great.
What's popular over in Sharon?
Well, I too looked at the holds. That's a great way to measure people's interest, obviously. And we have some older books and some newer books on the list. David Baldacci's new book, The Edge, has a lot of holds on it. And Ann Patchett's Tom Lake, which I think came out a couple of years ago now, at least a year ago, is still very popular. Also, the audiobook, which is read by Meryl Streep, is a popular one. James McBride's Heaven and Earth Grocery Store is still popular on the list. And also the new Percival Everett novel, James, which is his retelling of Huckleberry Finn from Jim's point of view. That's the newest book on this list that I have. And in terms of nonfiction, David Grand's book, The Wager, about the shipwreck off of South America in the early 18th century of a British warship that was chasing a Spanish ship. That's a very popular one still. He's, of course, the author of a lot of nonfiction, and they're always much requested here in Sharon. I read that one, and it's actually quite riveting, the whole story, and you learn a lot. It's one of those books you read, and you think, why did I never know this story before? You know, and then it makes you wonder about all those stories out there that are forgotten. Incredible stories of grit and survival.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio, 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.